Kilf, Nits I'd Like to Fuck In, by Scarlet Storm, read by Sun Kitten Shash. A Moldalzusher or the Untamed fanfiction. Rated explicit. Summary. Oh, and that time I ran away from the family that had me before the Jungs took me in, I got hypothermia. Wei Ying says all of this with the same easy demeanor that he uses when he tells playground stories about Zhong Cheng and Zhang Yanli, like he's not discussing trauma. When you get hypothermia once, you're more susceptible to it in the future, which is a fun side effect. He shrugs and kisses Lan Zhan's neck with lips that are still cold, but not horribly so. I just get cold easy now. I'm used to it. Lan Zhan says. It means, we'll fucking see about that. Or, Wei Ying is not allowed to be cold. Therefore, Lan Zhan must learn to knit. Author's notes. This is in the same universe as For a Good Time Call. It's not a sequel, more of a side story. It takes place, chronologically, during Chapter 20. You don't need to have read For a Good Time Call to enjoy this interlude, but I suggest you do, because it's hot and horny and some of my finest writing, quite frankly. Chapter 1. Fuck! Wei Ying complains, from the entryway. Holy shit, it got cold out there fast.
It is December, Lan Zhan says, from the couch.
He sets his laptop on the coffee table and pulls the blanket off his lap, rearranging himself for what will inevitably come next. I know that, Wei Ying says, dropping the bag of last-minute groceries on the counter before making a beeline for Lan Zhan's lap. It was fine this morning. I just didn't realize I'd be running an errand after sundown. And it's so cold out there, Lan Zhan. He climbs onto the couch and presses himself into Lan Zhan's body, nose and cheeks and ears all red from the temperature change. Lan Zhan tucks the blanket back around them both, and doesn't wince, even a little, as Wei Ying worms his hands under his shirt to press against his skin. They're like ice cubes, as usual. Lan Zhan has accepted that, as the warm one in the relationship, this is his job, and he endures Wei Ying's iceberg hands with stoicism.
Poor thing, he says, cupping Wei Ying's ears in his palms, which are also absolutely freezing.
Wei Ying sighs and presses his face into Lan Zhan's neck, and that, too, is cold. He's actually shivering pretty hard, Lan Zhan realizes, and he kisses the top of his boyfriend's head and pulls the blanket up a little further.
Why are you always so cold? He asks, not really expecting an actual answer.
Oh, Wei Ying says, casually. It's the childhood malnutrition. Lan Zhan goes very, very still.
Is that so?
Wei Ying replies, the shivering lessening a little bit as he basks against Lan Zhan's body. It fucked up my metabolism something bad. And I'm a little bit anemic, but I mostly have that under control with food and an iron supplement.
I see,
Lan Zhan says, wondering if he can invent time travel for the sole purpose of going back to defeat all of Wei Ying's former foster parents in single combat. Oh, and that time I ran away from the family that had me before the Jungs took me in, I got hypothermia. Wei Ying says all of this with the same easy demeanor that he uses when he tells playground stories about Zhong Cheng and Zhong Yanli, like he's not discussing
trauma. When you get hypothermia once, you're more susceptible to it in the future, which is a fun side effect. He shrugs and kisses Lanjan's neck, with lips that are still cold, but not horribly so. I just get cold easy now. I'm used to it. Lanjan says, and means, we'll fucking see about that. It's not so bad, Wei Ying insists, pushing up onto his elbows and getting one leg over Lanjan's hip suggestively. Especially now that I have a boyfriend who's so hot metaphorically and literally to warm me back up. Lanjan says again, this time in agreement, and he cups Wei Ying's still warming face in his hands as he pulls him in for a kiss. Lanjan has a desired outcome, which means he needs to develop a plan to get to said outcome, which means he needs to gather data in order to build said plan. He calls the whole thing Operation Make Sure Wei Ying Is Never Cold Ever Again. Lanjan isn't the best at naming things, but he's not planning on ever admitting to this plan out loud, so his questionable title is fine, as it's only going to be used for personal reference. He has some fairly solid ideas, and equally solid processes for implementing those ideas, but he doesn't want to run off with an underbaked foundation beneath the whole thing, or the cake will collapse under the weight of the icing. They have really been watching a lot of Great British Bake Off, and it's infecting Lanjan's thought patterns at the oddest times. The best way to start, he decides, is with keen observation of the subject of the operation, namely, Wei Ying. As Lanjan is always keenly observing Wei Ying, this does not result in much of a change to his daily life, other than giving his observations a bit more purpose. For example, when he climbs into bed that night, and Wei Ying climbs in after him, instead of observing Wei Ying because Wei Ying is beautiful and Lanjan likes to look at him, he observes his reaction to their sateen sheets on his bare skin, and how Wei Ying shivers and immediately swims across the mattress to land in Lanjan's arms. Excellent. Immediate, observable data. Lanjan hums to himself with satisfaction, wraps Wei Ying more securely in his embrace, and kisses his boyfriend on the head. Lanjan purchases flannel sheets and an electric mattress pad the very next day. He's never had flannel sheets before, because prior to Wei Ying moving in, he slept in flannel pajamas, and not only did flannel sheets seem like overkill, they also seemed like a great way to Velcro himself into one position all night via flannel-on-flannel friction. Now, the most they wear to bed is underwear, having both converted to all-night skin-to-skin cuddling, so there's no reason not to have flannel sheets, and every reason to have them. That is, Wei Ying will be warmer, which is the only reason Lanjan needs. He gets the sheets washed, and the heated mattress pad installed, and the bed all remade, while Wei Ying is ensconced in his office, editing music, or porn, or possibly music for porn. After dinner that night, he slips into the bedroom to preheat Wei Ying's side to the highest possible setting. After a moment, he turns his side on as well, to a more reasonable 3 out of 10. Lanjan runs hotter than Wei Ying, and doesn't want to sweat all over the clean bedding when they go to sleep later. If he's going to sweat all over the clean bedding, he wants it to be for a more enjoyable reason. It's long experience with surprising Wei Ying that allows Lanjan to not give the plan away
while they play a few levels of a co-op puzzle game on the Switch. He remains perfectly normal as they go through their evening routine, orbiting around each other in the bathroom as they brush their teeth and wash their faces in a well-practiced dance that never ceases to fill him with a warm fondness. "What if we do a festive photo shoot with the bunnies?" Wei Ying is saying, carrying on the thread of a conversation from the living room. "We could put them under the tree, or we could get a wreath and put them in the middle of the wreath. They'd look so cute in a wreath, Lan Zhan."
"Hmm," Lan Zhan says in agreement. "Bi Chen and Sui Bian would, indeed, look adorable in the middle of a wreath. We will have to do research on safe materials. I don't know if rabbits are supposed to consume conifers."
He climbs into his side of the bed and takes a moment to appreciate the preheated flannel. It is very nice, warm and soft. He already considers this purchase a good choice, but Wei Ying's reaction is the important one, so he refocuses on his boyfriend, who is, unsurprisingly, still talking. "Good point. As much as I want to get in on cute animal Instagram, I don't want to do that at the expense of our daughter's health." Wei Ying pulls back the covers on his side of the bed, and Lan Zhan tries not to watch him too avidly.
"Ooh, maybe we could,"
he starts as he climbs in, and then falls silent.
"Oh."
Wei Ying's half in, half out of the bed now, his face open with a slow spreading delight. He climbs the rest of the way under the covers and pulls them up to his chin, wiggling in the same way Bi Chen does when she's getting really snuggled in next to Sui Bian.
"Oh,"
he says again, on a sigh.
"Oh, fuck, that's so cozy."
He tips his head toward Lan Zhan, eyes dancing. "Sweetie, did you make our bed more cozy?"
"I did,"
Lan Zhan says, squirming closer in the graceless manner that is the only way to cross a king-sized bed.
"Each side of the mattress pad is controlled separately," he says, as he gathers Wei Ying into his arms, kissing his ear and chin and cheekbone. "You can stay as warm as you need."
"Lan Zhan,"
Wei Ying says, blinking very hard as his eyes well up. He says nothing for a moment, mouth working around words that don't form, and then flings himself more thoroughly into Lan Zhan's embrace, hiding his face in the crook of his neck.
"You're so good," he says, voice wavering. "God, I love you so much."
"I love you too," Lan Zhan says, relishing the words the way he always does when they come out of his mouth.
He kisses Wei Ying's temple, because that's the only skin he can reach, and strokes his back until he stops trembling with suppressed emotion and comes up for a kiss. They trade kisses for a little while, lazy and gentle and a little sleepy. Lan Zhan pulls away, kisses Wei Ying's nose, and asks,
"I take it you approve of our new bedding configuration?"
"You're a big fucking nerd, and I love you,"
Wei Ying says, and kisses him again, which doesn't technically answer Lan Zhan's question, but he doesn't feel like arguing. Flush with the success of the flannel sheets and electric mattress pad, Lan Zhan next sets his sights on a much more challenging target, Wei Ying's wardrobe. The thing about Wei Ying is that, for all that his general style incorporates a certain level of mess, it's always an artful mess. He wears black jeans with holes in them because he likes the aesthetic of the holes. This means he, apparently, freezes every winter and doesn't bother doing anything about it. He suffers for fashion. Lan Zhan doesn't understand this. Lanjian carefully chooses his ensembles based on practicalities and personal expression, now that he's actually allowing himself the latter. If Lanjian had holes in his pants, he would simply not wear those pants in the winter, or he would at least layer them with leggings. He explains this to Wei Ying next to the heat tech long underwear at the local Uniqlo, where Lanjian lured him by claiming he needed some replacement undershirts, and has now pounced at the opportunity to spoil his boyfriend. "Okay, first," Wei Ying says, still shivering a little bit from the cold drizzle outside, wearing his ridiculous sexy jeans with the ridiculous sexy holes in them. "That is honestly a genius idea, and it is pathetic that I didn't think of it myself. Second, though, sweetie," he looks at the long johns and makes a face, "these are so hideously boring." Lanjian has to admit he has a point. The long underwear is available in shades of white, black, and gray. "You wear black," he points out, because they're in public, and he can't pull Wei Ying against his body and cocoon them in a blanket until he stops shivering. So the next best thing is trying to convince him to stop the shivering in the first place. "I do," Wei Ying agrees, "but if I wear black leggings under black pants, I might as well be wearing pants without artistically located, extremely fashionable holes in them. And if my pants don't have holes, I might as well wear business casual and go back to working a corporate 9-to-5 job, and neither of us want that." He leans in to press a quick kiss to Lanjian's mouth, lips and nose like little cute icicles. "Let's go look in the women's section," he offers. "Women usually get better colors." "Gender is a lie and a trap," Lanjian says, very seriously, and trails a laughing Wei Ying over toward the side of the store that, indeed, has more color. Wei Ying allows himself to be convinced to purchase a few pairs of leggings in colors more interesting than black and gray, and a few heat tech undershirts as well. Lanjian tries his best to sell him on getting some of the merino sweaters, with mixed results. "They are machine washable," he points out, holding out a crew neck pullover with slightly puffed sleeves to check the length against Wei Ying's beautiful, elegant, hard-to-fit limbs. "Synthetics do their best, but animal fibers are still the warmest. Western science has yet to find anything better for sub-zero temperatures than the traditional garments of indigenous cultures in the Arctic." "You have to stop critiquing American imperialism in public, baby," Wei Ying says, covering his mouth with one hand. "You know how it gets me going." Lanjian relents. "The sweater?" he asks, jiggling the hanger slightly. Wei Ying makes a very small face, like he's reluctant to say what he actually thinks, and Lanjian waits patiently. "I know how snobby this makes me sound," Wei Ying says. "They're just so basic. If I'm gonna wear something that's the final layer in an outfit, I want to be happy about wearing it, you know?" Lanjian, currently wearing a cabled sweater tunic shot through with silver strands, nods. He does know. It's been a long internal fight, getting to the place where he'll wear the things in public that he actually likes, but now that he's had a taste, the idea of giving it up is repugnant. The sweater goes back on the rack, and he pulls Wei Ying into his arms, swaying him back and forth a little. "I just want you to be well," he says, quietly, into Wei Ying's hair. "I know," Wei Ying says, curled into his neck. "And I'm getting the leggings and the undershirt, sweetheart. I'm okay. I'm good. He pulls away and smiles. Now we need to get out of here, because every second I'm in a retail setting in December raises my chances of losing Little Drummer Boy. Are you getting anything? Lunjan says, eyes sliding over to her Marimekko wool blend dress in cream and gray.
Yes.
In addition to the dress and a few basic items, he really did need a few more undershirts. Lanjan also buys one of the ultra-thin down jackets in black, sneaking it in among his other purchases. Wei Ying, long used to scrounging at thrift stores and the clearance rack at H&M, still balks at spending more than $30 on a single garment. Lanjan understands this about him, and loves it, and respects it, and will also circumvent it at every opportunity. He waits until they make it to the lobby, just out of the store proper, but not yet outside, and then whips it out of the bag and yanks the tags off.
Take off your jacket, he orders a startled Wei Ying.
It's in what Wei Ying calls his dom voice, and he watches with satisfaction as his boyfriend goes red and gets his leather jacket halfway off before he really realizes what he's doing. Lanjan steps forward and tugs it the rest of the way down his arms, throws it over one elbow, and gently manhandles Wei Ying into the down one instead. Good boy, he breathes in Wei Ying's ear, sliding the leather jacket back onto both arms, settling it over his shoulders, and enjoying Wei Ying's answering shiver. Lanjan wraps his arms around Wei Ying from behind, and zips up both jackets, pats him companionably on the stomach, and steps away.
God, Wei Ying says, weakly, as he blinks and follows Lanjan out the door into the parking lot.
You can't... We're not lifestylers, Lanjan. You can't just drop your fucking dom voice on me with no warning, in public, and tell me to undress.
And yet, Lanjan says, only a little smug, and smiles as Wei Ying leaps bodily onto his back with an outraged squawk. Lanjan accepts this, as he accepts everything Wei Ying has to give, and resettles them into a proper piggyback ride.
Would you like to go for coffee?
Lanjan asks as they climb into the car, shopping bags safely in the trunk.
There's a new place near that park, the wildlife trails.
Oh, yeah, Wei Ying says, perking up. If it's not raining when we get there, maybe we can go see if my dude the blue heron is still around.
It is not raining, the earlier drizzle having turned into bright clouds with occasional breaks for weak rays of sunlight by the time they get their drinks. Wei Ying gets some kind of unholy eggnog latte that makes Lanjan's teeth hurt just thinking about it, while he sips at an adequately brewed cup of gunpowder green tea. They wander the slightly soggy wetland trails while they drink, and do, indeed, find Wei Ying's dude, the blue heron. The bird in question poses majestically on a half-sunken log, and Wei Ying takes a variety of pictures with his phone, and bemoans not bringing his actual camera.
Wei Ying,
Lanjan asks, a little later, as his boyfriend crouches on a wooden bridge and tries to get some ducks to pose for him.
Are you warm enough?
He thinks he knows what the answer is, but sometimes Wei Ying doesn't actually realize things about himself unless directly addressed.
No, show me your face, not your duck butt,
Wei Ying sighs, the duck refusing to obey his art direction, and blinks up at Lanjan.
Oh,
he says, thoughtfully, staring into the middle distance, one hand pressing to his stomach in almost a question.
I think I actually am.
He stands, tucking his phone into his pocket and adds, "Well, I mean, my hands and my feet and my knees and my face are all freezing, so, like, no change there. But the rest of me is good."
"Hmm,"
Lan Zhan says, in satisfaction, handing over Wei Ying's latte so he can wrap his hands around the still-steaming cup. Wei Ying takes it and presses forward, invading Lan Zhan's space, tucking his cold face into Lan Zhan's neck. He's like a fucking ice sculpture, Lan Zhan thinks, and he wraps his arms around Wei Ying and holds him on a damp bridge in a soggy park on a cloudy day, with only the ducks for company.
"Thanks,"
Wei Ying says, muffled.
"Of course,"
Lan Zhan says, and kisses the tip of one cold ear. Later, at home, Wei Ying takes off the leather jacket and the down jacket in one movement and hangs them up in the entryway like that, still entwined. Lan Zhan feels like he must radiate satisfaction like a space heater, and busies himself getting their new purchases in the wash, so it's not completely obvious how pleased he is with his machinations. "Okay," Wei Ying says, following him into the bedroom and flopping down on the bed. "I'm about to say something that, if I heard one of my friends say it, I would want to shake them for being such a self-sacrificing dingus. Just an absolute walnut. I am aware of how useless this is about to make me sound, and I want that acknowledged before I say it."
"The context is noted,"
Lan Zhan says, as he carefully cuts the tags out of his new sweater dress. "It'll need to be hand-washed, but he'll probably wear it over leggings and with an undershirt, so that's not something he feels obligated to do right now." "Right," Wei Ying says, with a self-deprecating sigh.
"Here goes."
A beat, while his face does something resigned and embarrassed. "I spent so long while I was poor being miserable and uncomfortable and not being able to do anything about it, that I forgot it was possible to do anything about it. I just suffered because I didn't have a choice, and then I got used to suffering, and now I just suffer because I don't remember there's a way to make things better. It's like habit. I got into the habit of being cold all the time and just lived with that." Lan Zhan wants to grab Wei Ying by the shoulders and shake him for being such a self-sacrificing dingus. Lan Zhan is also uncomfortably aware of living his life in the exact same way for almost a decade, making himself miserable with wanting and unwilling or unable to do anything about it. He takes a second to feel both feelings simultaneously, and reaches out a reassuring hand to rest on Wei Ying's peck.
"Wei Ying is, indeed, an absolute walnut," he says solemnly, "and I love him anyway."
Wei Ying glares up at him, but it's at the same time that he brings his hand up to meet Lan Zhan's and intertwine their fingers. "You're the worst," he says, squeezing his grip. "I love you." He tugs until Lan Zhan leans down, half on top of him, and they kiss gently. Wei Ying's face is still a little bit cold, his lips warming up under Lan Zhan's. Lan Zhan isn't sure how he's going to manage to keep Wei Ying's whole face warm this winter, but he's ready and willing to kiss it better every chance he gets. "Thank you," Wei Ying says, quietly, the way he tends to when he's being sincere and vulnerable, "for reminding me that I don't have to be miserable anymore."
"Always," Lan Zhan promises.
He kisses Wei Ying again and, in the spirit of honesty and shared vulnerability, says,
"You do the same for me. You always have.
Wei Ying's nose scrunches up. Gross. We're gross. We're so in love, it's gross. Disgusting, Lan Zhan agrees, kissing the corner of Wei Ying's mouth. Nauseating. He kisses his cheek. The absolute worst. A kiss to his temple. We're so in love, it's a crime against God, Wei Ying announces. We're partners in sexy crime. He tugs at Lan Zhan's hair, eyes dancing. Hey, baby, wanna commit some sex crimes together? Lan Zhan is so in love, it steals his breath away, even in moments like these, where his boyfriend is being utterly ridiculous. Maybe especially in moments like this. What did you have in mind? Wei Ying hums thoughtfully. I mean, he says, it doesn't have to be a sex crime, but I really want to see you in your new dress. Lan Zhan's ears heat, and Wei Ying kisses them in delight. It's your first actual dress, isn't it? Lan Zhan says. It's not the first time he's bought clothing marketed for women, but it's the first time that it's so obvious. It's a dress, not a tunic, or an overly long shirt, or a blouse carefully selected to not have bust darts. He's not nearly so anxious, these days, about indulging his love of fashion, but he still thinks he might need to wear it around the house for a little while, before he works up the courage to wear it outside. I believe, he says, in his best professional explanation voice, that if we reference the Old Testament of the Bible, my donning the dress would be both a sex crime in violation of the rules against wearing clothes intended for the opposite gender, and a general crime because it's a blend of fibers. Wei Ying kisses him, furiously, half laughing. Shut up, he says. The fucking Bible! I can't believe you. We're not even a little bit Christian. Why are you quoting the Bible at me? I took a comparative religions class in college, Lan Zhan says calmly. Also, you enjoy knowing random facts, and you get off on it when I lecture you. Fuck, Wei Ying says, with an amused grimace. The mortifying ordeal of being known, sexually, by my boyfriend. Truly you bear the heaviest burden, Lan Zhan says solemnly, and kisses Wei Ying into silence when he starts laughing again. It takes a little while to untangle himself, since Wei Ying has a general habit of asking him for something that would require leaving his embrace, and then refusing to release him. It's adorable, and Lan Zhan doesn't even bother pretending to be annoyed by it, still awed by the feeling of being so wanted that Wei Ying won't let him go, even unto absurdity. He eventually pins his boyfriend to the bed with hands on his wrists, and then escapes in the moment Wei Ying goes reliably pliant and fuzzy-eyed. Unfair, Wei Ying says, with no heat behind it, propping himself up on his elbows. Necessary, Lan Zhan points out, stripping out of his sweater and pants efficiently. He takes off his undershirt because he's pretty sure he knows where this is going, but leaves his underwear on so Wei Ying can take them off himself, as a treat. There's the barest hesitation as he picks up the dress, because, as Wei Ying has pointed out, it's a dress. Logically, he knows there's no shame in wearing a dress. He wears lingerie sometimes, for fuck's sake. But it still takes him a moment to breathe through the stab of anxiety and slip it over his head. It helps, immensely, that Wei Ying is watching him with avid interest and no small level of heat. Lan Zhan may not have bought this dress as a sex thing, but he's certainly not unwilling for it to be a sex thing. He turns to his reflection in the mirror, not wanting to make direct eye contact just yet, and lets the image sink in. It's him. In a dress. It's a long sweater, slightly A-line, hitting him just below the knee due to his height. The dress has no features intended to emphasize his figure or hug his curves. It's not daring or sexy or salacious. It is simply a long, warm sweater in cream and gray with a wave pattern. Lan Zhan regards himself for a moment and wonders if this even technically would count as cross-dressing. He looks more femme in a blouse and fitted jeans. "Do you like it, honey?" Wei Ying asks from behind him, on the bed. His reflected eyes are flicking over Lan Zhan's actual back and over the front of him in the mirror, still interested and warm. Lan Zhan says in agreement, turning slightly to look at himself at a three-quarters view. "It is warm. I enjoy the fit." He spares a glance for Wei Ying and tilts his head. "A shame it didn't come in red and black as well." "Oh my god!" Wei Ying says, flinging one hand over his eyes. "You're gonna make us matching gaze, aren't you? You're gonna start buying me one of everything you get yourself. You're gonna make us twin." "It does have an appeal," Lan Zhan says, honestly. He runs his hands over his torso, a slow drag against the knit. "I am pleased with the fabric," he says, letting his voice drop slightly deeper. "It's quite soft." Wei Ying peeks out between his fingers. "Is it now?" he asks, mouth curling up. Lan Zhan says, and stays exactly where he is. "Do I have to take your word for it?" Wei Ying asks, the smile more pronounced, a glint of teeth behind his lips. "Have I given you reason to doubt me?" Lan Zhan asks calmly, running his hands from his hips slowly up to his neck. Wei Ying's eyes track the motion, darkening, and he wets his lower lip. "Trust but verify," he says, scooting a little further up the bed and reaching for Lan Zhan with grabby hands. "I need to know if it's soft enough to tempt me into stealing it from your half of the closet." "Absurd," Lan Zhan says. "Because it is. Wei Ying would never wear actual white outerwear. He is a stain manufacturing machine and knows it." Lan Zhan does cross to the bed and climb on it to straddle Wei Ying's hips, though. Obviously. Wei Ying immediately slides his hands under the dress to grip his thighs. Cooler than Lan Zhan's skin, but not cold. Lan Zhan gives him half a glare. "I thought you wanted to feel the fabric." "Oops," Wei Ying says, deadpan and unrepentant, sliding his hands further up to give Lan Zhan's ass a firm squeeze. "I don't know what you're talking about with soft," he adds, fingers kneading into the muscles of Lan Zhan's glutes. "You could bounce a quarter off this, and I have." "That was a fun experiment," Lan Zhan agrees, although he's fairly certain a quarter would bounce off any part of the body of any human, and therefore still doesn't quite understand the point of the saying. He grinds down on Wei Ying's growing erection and tries to look bored. "Did you not want to feel this?" he asks, plucking at the hem where it's hiked up over his knees. If you're not interested, I'll just... And he grabs the dress, like he's about to pull it off over his head. Wei Ying's hands dart out from under his skirt to grab his wrists, eyes wide and just a bit panicked.
No,
he says, quickly, tugging his hands down so the dress stays exactly where it is.
You gotta let me.
And he splays his palms out over Lan Zhan's thighs, on top of the fabric this time, thumbs brushing back and forth.
Oh,
he says, pleased, a slow smile spreading across his face.
That is soft. That's really nice, sweetheart.
Lan Zhan says, warm and quiet and a little shy. I like it.
I like it too,
Wei Ying says, running his hands up to Lan Zhan's ribs and back down to his thighs.
It looks good on you.
He looks up at Lan Zhan's face, color high on his cheekbones, and drags his lower lip between his teeth absently.
Hey, come down here and kiss me.
Lan Zhan does, curling himself over Wei Ying and pressing him into the mattress with mouth and hands and body. The kiss is slow, but there's intent behind it, curling heat into the bottom of Lan Zhan's abdomen in the same way that Wei Ying's tongue curls into his mouth. He lets his hips roll absently, doing whatever they want. Wei Ying's jeans a pleasant friction under his bare thighs. Wei Ying nobly withstands this, up until Lan Zhan bites him right under the jaw, and then he moans and manages to roll them both over so he can kneel between Lan Zhan's spread legs, the dress hitched up to the creases of his thighs.
I know you didn't buy this as a sex thing,
he says, one hand petting over Lan Zhan's besweatered peck, the other on his ass again as he grinds their dicks together.
But is it okay if it's a little bit of a sex thing? It's not like...
And Wei Ying's beautiful, sex-flushed face goes serious, the way it tends to when he gets going on a topic he finds important.
It's not like a forced femme thing, because I find that shit extremely problematic even if the porn is hot. It's not the taboo. It's not that it's a dress. It's that it's you, and you're trying something new. God, baby, this is just so soft, and I'm gonna want to touch you all the time while you're wearing it. Have you noticed how much softer women's clothes are? I found yoga pants, and I was like, fuck, who's been keeping this from me? I'm never going back. Only soft clothes from now on.
Lan Zhan tangles a hand in his hair and kisses him. Not to shut him up, not really, because Lan Zhan loves hearing Wei Ying talk, loves his bizarre rambles even when they're fucking. He kisses him because he wants to, because Wei Ying's monologue is for him, full of compliments for him, that makes him want to swallow the words, like he can consume them and build them into his flesh from the inside out.
The dress is allowed to be a little bit of a sex thing,
he growls into Wei Ying's ear, tugging his hair, other hand digging into his low back through the fabric of his shirt.
But only if you take your clothes off.
Right,
Wei Ying says, squirming against him in a way that makes Lan Zhan's dick jump.
Right, good call. Great idea. You're so smart, Gaga.
He sits up and strips off his thermal undershirt, leaving him naked from the waist up.
Has his boyfriend never heard of layers? How does this beautiful, extremely competent man not know how to dress for the winter? And has to, unfortunately, get off the bed in order to get out of the rest of his clothes.
Lan Zhan props himself up on his elbows and enjoys the view.
So, Wei Ying says,
naked, with one knee on the foot of the bed, hands gliding up Lanjan's bare legs, over his calves, dragging against his thighs to settle on the waistband of his underwear. What's on the menu for today? Lanjan considers that, while he automatically lifts his hips so Wei Ying can work off his briefs, freeing his cock to bounce lightly against his stomach in a hot brand. Not a lot of penetration, he starts, as Wei Ying presses kisses to the inside of his knee, up his thigh, one hand lightly stroking his dick to smear around the pre-cum that Lanjan's body is so generous with. I think the black plug with the bumps. He rolls his hips up into Wei Ying's fist, fucking into his grip with a shudder. And, Wei Ying prompts, watching him with dark, hungry eyes. And you, Lanjan says, not particularly articulate, and he tugs Wei Ying up until he can align their hips, cocks pressed together and caught between their bodies, and fucks up against his skin. Like this. He rolls his hips again and adds, with lube, before his boyfriend can get sarcastic about it. Yeah, Wei Ying says, grinding against him, mouth on his neck above the collar of the dress. Yeah, baby, fantastic, love it, love you. He climbs off the bed again, this time to drag out the toy box from underneath it and locate the plug in question. Lanjan takes the opportunity to get the towel and the lube out of the nightstand and arrange himself appropriately. Do you want to put this in, or do you want me to do it? Wei Ying asks, resurfacing from the floor with the black plug Lanjan asked for and the purple one Wei Ying tends to prefer. Lanjan reaches out a hand in answer, and they both busy themselves with the necessary lube preparations. Lanjan normally likes having Wei Ying be the one to open him up, but he's feeling a little impatient today, heat and anticipation simmering under his skin, and he thinks it'll just be faster to do it himself. The plug starts with a small taper, which makes it easier to insert, and his body is much more used to penetration now than it was before he and Wei Ying started dating, so he can exhale and work the plug in with just a couple of breaths and some muscular control. It slips past the last bulge and settles in him, firm and deep, and a delicious, perfectly aimed sense of fullness. Lanjan clenches around it and gasps a little, cock twitching and leaking against his stomach. He can't help grabbing himself with his slightly lube-wet hand and tugging with a couple of slow pulls, the plug rocking against his prostate as he squeezes it internally. God, you're hot, Wei Ying says, watching avidly, having probably inserted his own plug in 5 seconds so he could leer at Lanjan inserting his. Because, in spite of their both being switches, Wei Ying would win gold in the bottom Olympics. It's all training, Lanjan, he'd said primly, once, far too coherent for someone fucking himself with a monstrous, neon-swirled alien dildo so his boyfriend could watch and jerk off about it. If you work hard and believe in yourself, and fuck your ass with toys of increasing size on a regular basis, you, too, can achieve your dreams. It was very sexy and very insulting, and Lanjan had told him so while he pinned Wei Ying down and came all over his chest. You're so hot I'd be mad at you if I didn't get to have sex with you. Honestly, I'm still kind of mad about it, he continues, eyes locked on Lanjan's dick. He lifts the lube bottle, and Lanjan gets his hand out of the way so Wei Ying can drizzle some on his cock, like he's glazing a cake. Because Wei Ying will never pass up the chance for comedy, whether out loud or nonverbal. He practically throws the lube aside when he's done, and wastes no time pouncing, rubbing his cock all over Lan Zhan's, and smearing the lube around between them. "So pretty," he mutters under Lan Zhan's ear, biting him delicately to avoid the dangly crystal earring. "Always so pretty for me, Gaga. Such a good boyfriend. So good to your Wei Ying."
"My Wei Ying is good," Lan Zhan says, wrapping his legs around Wei Ying's waist and using the resultant leverage for a firmer pressure on his next stroke. "He deserves good things." He gets his arms around Wei Ying as well, just for good measure, in case he gets cold, and also because Lan Zhan wants to pin him in place, keep them as close as possible. No room for air or doubt between their bodies. He tips his head back, giving Wei Ying greater neck access, one hand splayed across his undercut, and the other pressed his low back. "You feel good," he says, with a hint of fingernails on skin. "I always want to make you feel good." "Fuck," Wei Ying says, mouthing at his collarbone, moving a little faster into the slick, wet slide of their bodies. You always feel so good for me, sweetheart." He has one hand twisted into Lan Zhan's ponytail and can't seem to decide what to do with the other, running it up and down Lan Zhan's thigh, tucking it under the sweater dress to press against his ribs, up further so he can tease a nipple, and then back down to grip Lan Zhan's hip. "It's all good. Every touch from Wei Ying is good, still lighting off fireworks under Lan Zhan's skin." "I love to see you when you're like this," Wei Ying says, slipping into the lower register that tends to be his dom voice. "I love to see you all turned on. I love to see how into it you get." He bites at the collar of Lan Zhan's dress, tugging at the ribbing, and releases it to snap back against his skin. "I'd love to see you being yourself, doing something you want to do just because you want to do it. It's so incredibly hot when you're self-confident, sweetheart. Is it weird that I get off on that?" "It would be weirder if you didn't," Lan Zhan says, thinking of all the times he's watched Wei Ying sketch, or paint, or compose music, or edit a video, all with the effortless skill and grace that makes it nearly impossible for Lan Zhan not to climb directly into his lap and fuck him silly. He uses the hand in Wei Ying's hair to tip him in such a way that Lan Zhan can bite the crook of his neck, where there's usually a mark or three in varying stages of healing. Lan Zhan doesn't know what it is with him and Wei Ying's neck, but God, he just wants his mouth on it all the time. Wei Ying jokes that he must have been a Dracula in a past life, and refuses to acknowledge the correct term is vampire.
"I like that you enjoy it," he says, into the spot where an old bruise and a new bruise overlap.
"Oh, I know," Wei Ying says with a grin, his dick hard and hot against Lan Zhan's own, where it occasionally slides directly along his own with a jolt. "You're so cute when you dress up for me, and you have that look like you know you look good, and you want me to also know you look good."
He shivers and arches into his next thrust, eyes going a little glazed.
"You always look good, sweetheart," Wei Ying tells him, breathing hard, one hand fisted in the fabric of the dress at his waist. "Even in your the fucking grandma cardigans. I love them. I love them. I was always staring at you."
"I wanted you to,"
Lan Zhan tells him, abs tight.
He clenches around the plug each time they grind together, rocking it inside him. A stretch, a reminder of the fullness that he can have now any time he wants. He wishes, momentarily, that Wei Ying was fucking him, but sets that aside for later. He wasn't actually up for that when they started, and he's too close to switch gears now.
You like looking at me better now.
His voice is unsteady, rough, as the slide of skin on skin and the pressure in his ass push him further toward the edge, wrapped up in Wei Ying's arms and words.
You look so queer, Wei Ying tells him, tugging his hair, biting his jaw. I love it. I love seeing it. I love it when people see us together and know we're a couple and can't figure out which of us tops because I'm a goth wraith and you look like a genderqueer wet dream.
He kisses away Lan Zhan's whimper, twining their tongues together.
Get more dresses, sweetheart, Wei Ying croons against Lan Zhan's lips. Wear them everywhere so we can flex on the straights and bring me back home and bend me over the couch and fuck me with your skirts hiked up. God, that would be so hot.
Yes,
Lan Zhan groans, consumed with that image, Wei Ying face down and moaning while he takes Lan Zhan's dick, half covered with the skirt so no theoretical observers could even tell what was going on.
Yes.
His cock jerks, the movement spasming through his whole body, and he gasps,
Wei Ying.
Yeah,
Wei Ying says, thumb brushing the bottom of his ribs, sweater dress still rucked up and clenched in his hand.
Yeah, baby, come for me. I want to feel you come, Lan Zhan.
He grinds down, hard, letting Lan Zhan fuck up against the mess of heat and lube and pre-cum between them. Lan Zhan rocks his hips twice more, hardly breathing, and comes with a gasp and a shuddering rush through his whole body, knocking him out of himself and into somewhere floaty and warm. He twitches and groans, Wei Ying still panting praise in his ear, still grinding against his dick as it pulses through his orgasm, and out of practice and horny muscle memory, Lan Zhan slides his hand from Wei Ying's lower back down to curl over his ass. He finds the base of the plug by feel and pushes on it, matching the now irregular pace of his thrusts.
Yes,
Wei Ying says, head tipping back, biting his lower lip between gasps.
Yeah, Lan Zhan, fuck, just like that, I'm gonna.
Wei Ying comes with a keen, hot against Lan Zhan's stomach in the mess they've made there together. Lan Zhan keeps up the pressure on the plug, in and out, press and release, till Wei Ying whines and collapses on top of him. Then he contents himself with kissing Wei Ying's hair and temple and petting his back and, generally, getting in a very good post-sex cuddle. Wei Ying, obsessed with fairness in all things, returns these affections in the form of gentle kisses to Lan Zhan's neck and what little amount of collarbone is available, and soft strokes to his hip. It's very nice. Lan Zhan is so lucky. I didn't get cum on your new dress, did I? Wei Ying asks into Lan Zhan's neck a little while later, before pushing up onto his arms. I really didn't want to get cum on your new dress. That would have been an acceptable casualty of the sex they just had, but Lan Zhan nevertheless allows Wei Ying to roll off him to the side to investigate any potential damage.
You did not, he says, pushing up onto his elbows again and peering down at the truly spectacular mess on his lower abs. The dress is physically unharmed.
He waits a beat and adds,
though it's possible that we have traumatized it. Wei Ying laughs, splayed out naked over their duvet, covered with the same mess and a slightly smaller amount, due to gravity and the natural consequences of being on top.
Are you kidding?
He says, grinning at Lan Zhan in the hazy, sex-drunk way that Lan Zhan has come to recognize and adore. This is the best possible life for a dress. The other dresses in that store wish they got to be the filling in our sandwich. We just made this dress's whole existence worthwhile. The entire horny internet is jealous of this dress and wish we'd open up our relationship to things other than dresses. Lan Zhan says, making his usual long arm reach for the box of tissues. Technically, our relationship is open to harnesses and lingerie as well. He considers that while he wipes himself off and adds, to most clothes, really. Point, Wei Ying agrees, accepting a handful of clean tissues. Still, though, that dress should be honored by what just happened. It's gonna be like, dear penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me. Lan Zhan sits up and tugs the rather rumpled sweater dress off over his head before he drapes himself across Wei Ying, pinning his less sticky boyfriend to the mattress with body weight and zero actual effort. Perhaps you should keep that in mind the next time we go shopping, he suggests, letting Wei Ying burrow into the warm shelter of his body. You get sweaters that will actually keep you warm, and the sweaters get a sexual adventure. It is a win-win scenario. Wei Ying pulls his head back from where he'd already tucked it into Lan Zhan's neck to give him a suspicious glare.
We're still on about sweaters? He asks, accusingly. Is this all a campaign to train me into buying boring but practical clothes via mind-blowing sex?
Lan Zhan hums noncommittally, running a hand down Wei Ying's side. It could be, he allows. Is it working?
Fuck you!
Wei Ying laughs, which isn't a no, but then he drags Lan Zhan down for a very distracting kiss before Lan Zhan can press the issue further, which, well, that's fine too.